Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass as we look forward to Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Link with some snow showers in the forecast. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Did you know that scrunched and strength are the longest one-syllable words in the English language?
What's that first word?
Scrunched.
Scrunched.
Yeah, scrunched and strength.
What does scrunched mean?
See, I had to look that up, but I don't know. As of right now, it's
okay.
Inconclusive.
But I didn't get that far.
But you know what's funny? Because I was I followed this guy on Twitter, and he said that squirrel is one of the longest one syllable words in the English language. And so it got me going down the rabbit hole, and I was like, what is the longest one syllable word in the English language? So it's two. And it means making a crushing noise.
Oh, okay. You know,
it's making a crushing noise.
Crunch or crumple. All right.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is what my goal for the show is, that people get smarter every day. People may feel by 2 o'clock they get dumber after listening to me for 4 hours, but I think at 10 o'clock they get smarter every day.
No, it's just like bringing different things.
Yeah.
And it's the algorithm, man. It really is. Like when I tell you my algorithm is all over the place. They got thick wood hard.
I tell
hard.
You.
They got. It's, you know, it's, in some ways, I kind of, to a lesser extent, I relate to, you know, some of the stuff that Joe DeCamera is talking about.
Well, we'll get to that as the show goes
along. Yeah.
Joe in his bathtub yesterday tweeting, all right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, Hugh, so I've been thinking the last couple of days, and we've had a lot of discussion here on the Midday Show and all of WIP about Jalen Hurts and about the passing game. And it's like my mind goes to one place, and then I kind of stop myself, and I'm like, so we've talked for four straight days here now. This will be day number four. After another win, and after another game where the Eagles win without much question. I mean, they won the game by 12 points on Sunday against the Packers. They have won all but one game since the end of September. And the one game that they didn't win, Jalen Hurts obviously got knocked out of. Yet, Hugh, all we talk about is the passing game. So here's what I'm wondering here. Is this actually a big deal, or do we just talk about it because we're afraid it's going to become a big deal? Hugh, like this passing game, we could be honest about it. We could be fair. It's not great, right? They have some great players. I think they're capable of doing more at times, but they run the ball more and they play defense. But is the Eagles passing game, Hugh Douglas, a big deal as we enter the now three games to go to try to win a Lombardi here?
You know what? Before I answer the question, allow me to long talk for
just a moment.
Because I was thinking about this as we were setting up the show, and I'm thinking about how the national media and how they have to talk about stories and how we get to talk about stories a little bit because we're local. And, you know, being a guy that has been one of those national pundits and everything, just thinking back to some of those meetings that I was in. And a lot of times when you hear stories and you talk about stories, it's more about the reaction of how you feel in that moment. And then you respond, you know, based on how you feel in that moment. The benefit of being here and having boots on the ground and being a part of these stories and seeing it, how they play out and seeing guys on a day-to-day basis, it allows me the time to kind of reflect and think about different things, about, you know, this team and all this other stuff. And to answer your question, Joe, in the long form of talking, no, not really. No, not at all. Because I feel like this team is doing what it needs to do to win the day. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I know that, and you know, I got a chance last night. I had a little bit of time to listen to some of the callers. Callers tonight, I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. They're different.
Hugh, that was my life for 5 years. Those are my people.
They're different. And the undertone, it was more the undertone of the dislike for the quarterback trying to be masked in, you know, intellectual conversation. You know what I mean? Just say, I think you would do yourself a service by just saying, I don't like the quarterback, more so than trying to hurt yourself or bend your back, break your back, trying to, you know, give you all these reasons why he's not this, that, or the third. The bottom line is this. Jalen Hurts is not playing great right now. He's not playing bad, but he's not playing great. Jalen Hurts is playing well enough to win football games right now. And going into this game this weekend, I'm talking in the long form a little bit. Thank you for allowing me this.
No, you got it.
Going into this game this weekend, let's put all the intangibles into the equation. It's going to be inclement weather. Inclement weather for a team that throws the ball does not bode well. I had a chance to listen to Jason Kelce this morning, and he talked about that. Played offensive line, by the way, and he talked about how in games like this, when teams that are primarily passing teams come into a situation like this, they tend to struggle. So, with that being said, I need people just to sit back and get out of your feelings for like a few seconds and just look at it like this. I want Jalen Hurts to throw as much as he needs to throw, hand the ball to Saquon Barkley. That's all you have to do. I have said this, and many other people before me have said this, many other people nationally have said this. Your best asset at this time of the year is your running game. We run the ball extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last couple of weeks and the last couple of days, we're harping on the quarterback play and whether or not he can throw the football. That's going to become a factor as we move through these playoffs. But guess what, people? It's not a factor this week. This is the equivalent to me about worrying about my car note after I just paid my car note. I'm worried about the next one.
The next one, yeah.
I'm worried about – I got a whole month to worry about that next car note. I got a whole month. I just made the payment yesterday. But now I'm complaining about next month's car note, and I got a whole month to figure that out. What are we doing? Like, seriously, what are we doing?
Yeah, we're worrying. I mean, we may be worrying for no reason. 215-592-9494. Good long talk in there, Hugh, and I like the analogy at the end. Now, let me hit you guys with two analogies. Then we're going to hear from Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. I've got two analogies of this because I do think this is a big deal. I think it's been masked by the Eagles' ability to win games a certain way. And to Hugh's point with the weather this weekend, they may be able to win another game a certain way on Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. But I do think at some point that next car note is coming or the next challenge is coming, likely next week in Detroit and then the Super Bowl after that. So here's how I feel. I'm going to give you two analogies. One, kind of like Hugh's car note analogy, and the other one, a more recent sports analogy that we just experienced here in Philadelphia. All right, so the real-life analogy is, I'm sure a lot of people probably can relate to this, where, yeah, maybe you don't really eat the best and you don't exercise much, but every year you go to the doctor and they say, you're good.
Talking about me?
No, I knew you were going to think I was, and I wasn't. But a lot of people might feel that one. Right, like you don't really take care of yourself. You don't exercise much, and you go to the doctor, and he says, or she says, "See you next year."
Yeah, they probably ain't gonna do that though.
Eventually, one of the times you go, they're gonna say, things are not looking as good. You got to make some changes here, and maybe you will, and hopefully that's great for you. But if you don't, eventually that could cost anyone in life. And that's the way I view the passing game. Like, they could keep winning like this, but there's going to be a day where Doc might say, hey, we need to make some changes here. Are the Eagles ready to make those changes and win a game by throwing the football? We'll see. The other one, and this one, I've had this one in my head for a while, and I really hope that a week or two from now I'm not bringing it up again. But, Hugh, something about the way the Eagles are winning and the way they play and their passing game reminds me of the Phillies last season and their offense. And what I mean by that is last year the Phillies were what? A pitching team, right? They were a great pitching team. And I think we could see as the season was going along, that offense was really up and down. If Schwarber and Harper weren't bombing the ball out, they didn't score much. Kind of like if Saquon's not running the ball all over the place, Eagles aren't moving the football much. And we kept saying, well, all right, hopefully they'll figure it out by October. And the pitching will be great, and they don't have to score a lot of runs. Well, they got to October, and unfortunately, their pitching failed them in that moment. And in game one, game three, game four against the Mets, they allowed 6 runs, 7 runs, 4 runs. And those were the days they needed the offense to be better. And unfortunately, they scored 2 runs, 2 runs, and 1 run, and they were out in 4 games. And I look, this defense for the Eagles is incredible. That Phillies pitching staff for most of last year was incredible. I mean, they had 3 guys that got Cy Young votes. And their bullpen for a lot of the year was incredible. But unfortunately, in a big moment, their pitching fell. And they needed their offense to help them. And said their chase rate, which I think you could kind of compare to the Eagles passing game, it was choppy all year. I don't want that to be this Eagles team. Is this a big deal? I think it is. 215-592-9494. Let's hear the quarterback yesterday, his weekly press conference. Jalen talking about his play, the passing game, and kind of the approach week to week.
I think you guys need to understand that I don't play the game for anything other than to win. And my role in each game will be different. And the approach in each game is different. And, you know, you just want to go out there and do your job and take advantage of opportunities, obviously. And I think some things are magnified a little bit more because there's less opportunity in certain areas. But ultimately, it's about winning the game. You know, we're talking about playoff football.
So, Hugh, I mean, I agree with his large point. He's just doing what the coaches are asking him to do, and he's not going to be given the opportunity to throw 40 times. He knows that. We know that. But it's just funny the way he talks there. Like, yeah, I'm just doing what it takes to win the game.
Well, you know what? And again, this is why I'm glad I'm here, and I get a chance to elaborate on what I interpret Jalen is saying. Jalen's frustrated a little bit. He's frustrated because he knows he's not playing well, but they're still winning, and he gets another opportunity. But this is all that's being talked about is the play of the quarterback. And what he's saying is, and he's saying it in a defiant way, and I know it probably rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but just think about how it would be. And I'm not asking you to sympathize with Jalen. I'm just saying. But just think about what he's going through. How it would be if everywhere you turn, you hear about how bad you're playing. Like, seriously. And you've been, and I give Jalen credit, man. For years, the one time that I had a chance to see him here and we talked about, in passing, I said, hey, I work on the station or whatever. And he let me know flat out, I don't listen to the station. I was like, hey, that's cool. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But I think it's starting to wear on him a little bit because he knows, like, nobody understands the pressure that he's under more so than Jalen does. And he understands what his legacy means by this playoff run. This is the best team. Hands down, it could be argued, but I believe it's the best team in the playoffs right now. Only thing that they have to do is finish writing in the chapters. They just got to finish this thing out. And if it plays out the way that this roster says it should play out, we should be exactly where we want to be. But it takes time to get there, and I think that's why most people are upset. Most people are kind of in their feelings a little bit because what we're doing is this. We're projecting about how we should play when we get ready to play the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for weeks.
You know what I'm saying? But we're not there yet. We got different stages that we have to go through. You know, it's kind of like Mike Tyson's punch. I remember Mike Tyson. You got to fight the Sandman and Ball Bull and Glass Joe and all them other cats.
Who are the Rams?
Before you get to the Rams are Mike. At this point, the Rams are the guy that you fight right before Mike Tyson. I can't remember which one. Who was that?
I got him as Glass Joe.
Was it Glass Joe?
I don't know. I don't
I can't remember who the guy they fought before Mike Tyson. But the point is this. Every fight that you go into before you get to that main fight, there's a different strategy that's needed to win that fight. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
And right now, we know the strategy that's going to be needed to fight Mike Tyson. But we got to get to that point. And before we get to that point, we have to strategize and do things a certain way in order to get to that point. Now, I say all that because I'm doing a little long talking this morning. But I say all that
it's
to
a
say
lot
this.
Of long talking.
Long. I've been like I'm on the pulpit this morning just trying to drop this knowledge on y'all. But I say all that to say this. This weekend, people, look at it like from this weekend alone, do you think that the passing game is going to be prevalent in order for us to win this game? Or do you think it's going to be necessary in order for us to win this game?
I don't think it's going to be as imperative as it will be next week. No, especially the weather.
Let's stay in this moment. Let's stay right here. Let's stay right here in this moment and get past this obstacle against a team that's coming off a day less rest than we have and had to travel as much as they had. Let's do this. And I know I'm asking a lot because that's not how we do. But let's just do this. Let's get past this week. So, and then next week, everything that we're worried about, now we can talk about it.
So you tell me to box my worries away.
Box your worries
box
away,
box my
man.
Worries, just like we did with the Don't, Phillies. Box your worries.
Listen, you already paid the car note, dog. Go ahead and let that – listen, you got 30 days.
That next note's coming.
It's coming, but you got 30 days to figure it out.
All right.
Let that car note – go ahead, dog. You just paid the car note.
I was – your long talking afforded me a chance to look at the Punch-Out characters. So we had Challenger, Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull.
Yes.
Kid Quick.
E-Honda? Was it E-Honda? No, Piston Honda?
Pizza Pasta.
Pizza Pasta.
And then Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, that's the big one. All right, let's also hear from A.J. Brown. He spoke yesterday. One catch, 10 yards on Sunday. Here's A.J. on how he's feeling, how he was feeling, and the pass game.
A.J., how did the knee feel after the game? And I know you weren't at practice today. Was that the same as last week, just managing it?
Yeah, I felt fine after the game. You know, came out clean and... You know, it's just all a part of the plan. You know, I'll be out there tomorrow. So,
did you feel like yourself out there on Sunday, or did you feel like any impact?
No, I was fine, moving around fine. You know, I was open, and you know, I was cool.
Hugh, the end there caught my attention. He said I was open.
Yeah,
I mean, the only catch. Usually, if he's open, he gets one more. He has more than one catch for 10 yards. That was because the first watch I had, Hugh, I didn't think he was open that much. He felt he was open though.
I mean, isn't his name always open?
That's his name.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know a receiver. Listen, I don't want to play with nobody who doesn't feel like they're always open, even if they're not. I mean, that's just how it is, man. Yeah. And I'm not holding that against AJ, even if he wasn't open.
Yeah, I just thought about it because he had one catch for 10 yards. He thinks he's open. He probably wants more. 215-592-9494. Is the passing game a big deal or not? Where do you come down as the Eagles, I recognize, have won all but one football game since the end of September, but I do think this is a big deal and will be as we move forward here. Kyle, what are you feeling on this as the Eagles have gotten away with a shaky pass game for a long time now?
Yeah, so two quick comments. I don't think two things here can be true at the same time. That A.J. Brown is always open, and that no one was getting open for Jalen Hurts against the Packers.
Yeah, you got to pick your fighter on that.
Yeah, and like I agree with A.J. If he's one-on-one, then he is open. There's a difference between being open, wide open, and NFL open, where you can throw a guy open and make it so. And I'm sorry, but far be it for me to believe that Jalen Hurts went two quarters in that game without completing a pass, all for the sake of winning a football game. So that bothered me a little bit, but... I was going to make the same analogy you did, Joe, about the Phillies thing, is that, wow, this pitching is so great. It's not like, you know, best record in the majors for a long time. This isn't an issue that the hitting is really streaky. And then all of a sudden it was, and we didn't really have the luxury we didn't really get a chance to fix it, right? Because I guess at least as fans, we all kind of ignored it. And I also go back to the 10-1 start for the Eagles last year. Like, have we not learned our lesson in this city that just because they're winning or, you know, things on the surface will tell you that it's okay, that it's not? Like, when we see issues, like, sometimes there might actually be issues. And they bit the Eagles right in the rear end last season, and they completely fell apart. Now, this team, granted, is completely different from that team. But I only make that analogy to say that there is a flaw here, and we can't just sit around and say, well, it hasn't bitten us yet, and then all of a sudden it does, and guess what? We're sitting at home, and we're watching the NFC Championship game with the freaking Los Angeles Rams going to Detroit, where that's where we should be. So, of course, it's a big deal, and anyone who thinks otherwise is just keeping their head in the sand.
215-592-9494. Is the Eagles passing game a big deal? Where do you come down as we head towards this Rams game? Just quickly to hit you with a stat, we used this yesterday. Shio Kapadia, friend of the show, friend of the station, he writes for The Ringer. He put this out yesterday. Out of a sample of 224 playoff games in the last 10 years, so the last 10 years of playoff football, 224 quarterback games, Jalen Hurts' wild card performance ranked 205th in dropback success rate. There have been 15 times the last 10 years a quarterback was that low on the metric. All those guys lost. Except Jalen Hurts won, which makes this so interesting because it's like it's not a big deal because they're winning, but it feels like one to me. 215-592-9494. JD in Southwest Philly starts us off. Good morning, JD.
Hey, good morning. Give me a second. Let me pull my head out of the sand since Kyle just told me my
go ahead.
Head.
Yeah, well, you can't talk with your head in the sand. You got to get it out.
Listen, let me explain something to you. I'm going to give you an exact reason why those analogies of the Phillies is dead wrong, right?
Okay.
The reason why those analogies are wrong is because we were burnt by the Phillies two previous years with the same problem. Like, we've seen it, and it happened. And it was like, okay, well, it happened again. So in those instances, if you want to bring up the Phillies and be scared about, you know, postseason and them not showing up, that's fine. The only thing you guys are going off right now is history. History says that we should look a certain way with the talent that we have. And I grant it, if that's what you want to bring up, that's fine. But you're not going to sit here and make it seem like, you know, this guy, on the contrary, I could say that actually every time Jalen's been in a big game, he's shown up. We've never not seen him show up in the big game. Not once.
Well, what is that? Hold on. What does it mean? Okay. What do you mean, show up in a big game? In the playoff game last year, he scored nine points.
He showed his ass.
He scored nine points in a playoff game last year.
Okay. You want to use the outlier, and that's the same thing Kyle did when he was making the example of last year. Okay, you want to use that one time last year when everything was just off
but
the rails.
But it's just, hold on, JD, but like you came on, and your point was every time. And then I just simply point out every time is inaccurate, yeah. And now I'm asking you to make sense of it.
Okay. So let me excuse me. He hasn't shown up one time in the playoffs.
Yeah, can you say,
let's just look at it. Let's look at it this way. Can you say that he's shown up more times in big games than he's not?
Yes.
And I'm talking about regular season as well.
Yeah, you should have framed it.
Okay. I got you on that.
That one cooked.
So give him the benefit of the doubt then. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
So, JD, there's two things. Like, will he show up? Yeah, I don't expect Jalen Hurts to go to Detroit next week and throw up all over himself. I don't think he's going to have five picks in a game and we're going to talk about how awful. I don't think that. But there's a line between, hey, this is kind of like blah, this passing game, and hey, we need it to be really good, and I haven't seen enough of that this year. That's it. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's going to play terrible next week. But if they need more, I haven't seen much of more.
But this is the thing. This is the thing, and this is my problem with what you're saying, Joe. Until we get actually burnt by it, like, relax.
But that's the Phillies thing. That's the Phillies offense last year.
Problem. That's a you problem.
No, it's an us problem. It's all of our problems, JD.
We haven't been burnt by it.
But that's what we said. But JD, but okay, and it's a good phone call, and I love your passion.
We haven't been burnt by the Eagles.
Yeah,
but we don't want this to happen again.
Right, it's just like, I'm sure we, somewhere on WIP, maybe it was our show, I forget. We probably had this same conversation about the Phillies.
Oh, we definitely had
in August and September. Are you worried about the offense? They're chasing again.
We definitely had this conversation.
And I guarantee
it's gonna be okay.
They have the best pitching staff. This is not gonna matter.
Yeah.
We did this already. Look, I get Hugh's point that this again, this particular week might not be the time because it's gonna be snowy on Sunday, but I do think this passing game is a big deal. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop board. Where do you come down? Is the Eagles passing game issues, and it's the way it is, is it a big deal or is it not? Where do you fall on this as they continue to win in a very certain way? Are your calls on this? Plus, we get to something Nick Sirianni said on the morning show this week after he got a chance to watch the tape. Did he think the receivers were getting open? That's next your calls. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Rhea Hughes will join us in studio at 11. We got to get to a couple things with Rhea. One, I need a big prediction from her again. Last week, she nailed the Quinyon Mitchell first interception prediction. So we'll see what Rhea has for us this week. And we need to get her thoughts on the Joe DeCamera tweet from yesterday. In fact, there was a flurry of tweets from Joe yesterday. The one in particular, as he detailed what he was doing while bathing. So we'll get to that coming up at 11 o'clock later in the show. What Jason Kelce said about this game against the Rams and this Eagles offense. Plus, some big themes we got to get to for Sunday. One, I feel like, is a big advantage for the Eagles. And one, I feel like, is not. So we'll get to all that. Big show today. 215-592-9494. Is the Eagles passing game and the issues that we've seen all year with it a big deal? Or is it much ado about nothing? They just keep winning and we keep like, it doesn't look right, and they keep winning. Where do you come down? Is it a big deal? Let's hear from Nick Sirianni first on the Eagles passing game. What did he see after rewatching the game? Here he was with Joe and John a couple days ago.
How much did receivers struggle to get open more than usual against the Packers?
Our receivers are able to get open again when it's one-on-one coverage, and it's true, you know, like that. Our receivers know how to get open, find ways to get open, and I think the same can be true for when our receivers field at zone. They have a good feel like of where to sit in the zones, where to sit. But there's rules to where you got to sit in zones as well. I thought we were efficient in the pass game. I thought that there was things we're going to all want back, but I never worry about, you know that sign in AJ's locker, always open. He's always open. So I never worry about those guys getting open. I never worry about that because we got some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was great to have Dallas back. Listen, at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do to win the football game, and that's the only thing that matters. How do you win the football game? And we found a way to do that.
Hugh, there's a double-edged sword for Sirianni there when he's asked that question. So if he responds and says, yeah, we didn't get open like we normally do, then it opens up the can of worms as well. Was it a poor scheme, right? Did the Packers know it was coming? Or did your guys just get outplayed by their DBs, right, your receivers? Or he could answer it the way he did by saying, no, guys were open. Because when I hear guys are open, I say, well, why didn't they throw the ball better for two quarters, right? Like, it's like he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't when he answers that question.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing about it is like, what we do as far as analysts, it's amazing how this is on this subject in particular with Jalen and these receivers, it has divided everybody, because you have some people that are in the camp that the receivers are open and Jalen just missed the throws.
Yep.
And then you have some people in the camp where they say the receivers weren't open. And it's tough, man. I'm of the mindset of this, and we talked about this a little bit Monday. I saw where Dan Orlovsky was talking about when he said receivers were covered. But there's something, and I think Kyle mentioned it this morning, it's one thing called being college open and NFL open.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I talked about it, I said, okay, to Dan Orlovsky's point, at the top of the route, yeah, they were covered. I get that. But there's a window, and I told a story this morning about Dan Marino, because that was my first time playing in the NFL, and it's a story that I'll never forget. But Dan got the ball out of his hand so fast, and I remember on one play. Now, y'all have to understand, I'm playing for the Jets, but I'm in the Miami Dolphins huddle because I am amazed and enamored. First game ever, because Richmond Webb over there kicking my ass. So my first game ever, I'm listening to how Dan Marino commands the huddle. And it was a receiver that ran the wrong route, and Dan was on his ass. He's like, if you don't run this, da-da-da-da-da, I told you to do this, 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 that. And he came back, and he made the play. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is this, is because I had the best seat in the house to watch Dan Marino work, and Dan Marino would throw to a spot. And what I mean by that is he would throw the ball. There would be no receiver in the vicinity where he was throwing. But right when you blinked your eyes, a guy would cross the route and back catch the football because he was throwing guys open. Jalen doesn't do that. Jalen's not going to put the ball in harm's way. And that's what you saw earlier. A lot of people that said they were open early in the route. Jalen's not going to throw those for the most part. If it's not a one-on-one coverage, we've seen that. We've talked about that for weeks. And that's just not the quarterback that Jalen is. And that's something that you know, I'm pretty sure is frustrating for the receivers. It's frustrating for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, Jalen gives us, in this situation right now, as it's presently presented to us, gives us the best chance of winning football games.
Well, he does, and he's done a lot of that. And he's obviously a good quarterback and a winning quarterback. And if he continues to win, everyone's going to be happy. But the details and how it happens, it makes our mind wander. I mean, it does for me. I mean, I that's why I use the analogy with Phillies. I thought they were a tremendous baseball team last year, but they had a flaw. They were towards the bottom of the league in certain things, specifically at the end of the year chase rate. They started chasing again, and you wondered, is that going to come and bite them at some point unless they fix it? They didn't fix it. The pitching failed a little bit, and they couldn't catch up in those games, unfortunately. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Is this the Eagles passing game? Is it a big deal, or is it much ado about nothing and they keep winning in spite of it? Chris in Middletown, what's up, Chris?
Eastbound down and loaded up and trucking, man.
That is us, and we have two wins to a trip to New Orleans. Chris, what are you feeling today?
Here's how I'm feeling. First of all, Hugh, did you get your coat?
You know what, Chris? It came and it was not the right size again.
Yeah. Like, what is it, like too short or tight in the arms?
Well, I don't, it's kind of tight in the arms. Mm. I gotta figure that out.
I mean, Hugh, it's gonna be a little cold on Sunday.
No, it's definitely it's gonna be a lot of cold on Sunday.
Yeah. Hugh, your partner's there, Mr. Joe and Kyle. They're playing base today. You know that, right?
I think I like to look at us more as visionaries. We're trying to help everyone see things a certain way.
I mean, but you know what, though, Chris? They're not the only ones. A lot of people feel this way. A lot of people feel strongly about the play of the quarterback.
You know what? Shut up.
So here's what I got to say about all this, guys. The weather is going to be total slop on Sunday. And when you're playing these games, and you know, hopefully you could kind of talk about this, but we're built right for this. When you're doing this, you got to have a dominant run game, which we most certainly do. We may potentially see another snowball because it's starting to look like that a little bit. And you need to play dominant defense. And when we start laying wood, to these California kids,
they got thick wood, hard. They got. You couldn't wait to use that cut.
I was waiting for it. As soon as Chris went down that path, I knew it was coming.
Yeah, and guys. You know, this whole Jalen thing, dude, he didn't play in a month. So, of course, he wasn't going to be completely locked in. And anybody who convinced themselves that he was and it's not a big deal, look, you got to move yourself away from OG Wade's Kool-Aid station because you drank a little too much, all right? Dude, even with Jalen not being completely sharp, he doesn't throw games away. He doesn't do the five pick games. He doesn't do that stuff. And, you know, he's shown us that when called upon, he can pull the wagon, just like what happened in Pittsburgh. And he came out and said, y'all see what you need to see? Well, apparently Joe and Kyle didn't see what they needed to see. So, guys, and let me also remind you the dynamics of this game. So, like, to act like, hey, he struggled season, he struggled this week. The Packers have the fifth best defense in the NFL. The Rams ain't that. The Rams are 26, and Joe, I don't want to hear how they dismantled Sam Darnold, okay? Just let's end it right there. Sam Darnold.
I know, Chris. I get it. It was okay? Sam. I get it. And so I understand that, Chris. We appreciate the phone call. Can I just make a point, though? And you can throw all the numbers you want at me with the Rams defense and the Packers. Two things. One, your ranking is a resume of the entire season. Like, so the Rams are 26th or whatever they are in defense.
Yeah, don't matter in a playoff.
In part because they stunk in September. And like, I'm not saying they're a top five defense, but we also could have some context. Like, they were bad early. They're any team that had 9 sacks 6 days ago is going to get my attention. I don't care if it's good Sam Darnold or anybody else.
Weren't the Indianapolis Colts defense bad going into the playoffs?
When they won with Peyton.
Yes. Then they turned it on.
Yeah, also, Packers were fifth, but they had lost Jair Alexander. Like, that wasn't the same defense. So, I think it's a fair point. The Packers did bring a quality defense in here, and we won. And the Rams are bringing a defense that is not as good over the course of the season. But, I mean, could we just totally just throw away the fact that they had 9 sacks in a playoff game on Monday? Now, I don't think they're going to get 9 against Jalen, but like, I'm not going to dismiss them totally.
No, I can't do that.
Totally?
Yeah. I said this before. I'll say it again. If you tell me that an opponent's pass rush is a threat, I dismiss that every time. We have the best offensive line in football. We have the two best tackles in football. Jared Verse will not sniff Jalen Hurts if Lane Johnson has anything to say about it, which he always does. Can you remember the last time a defensive lineman for any team wrecked a game against the Eagles? It does not happen.
So, I understand your point, and I don't think the Rams are going to get six sacks, but they could force Jalen to roll right, and then it's a broken play. You know what I mean? Like, Jalen's not taking 10 sacks this game. He doesn't do that. They won't let him do that. But if there's pressure, Jalen can not complete passes.
Yeah. Right. No. So, and to Hugh's question, I don't think Nick Bosa wrecked the game. I think what they were doing, the Niners were, they were forcing. I think what he was describing as the blueprint was to kind of force Jalen to his, like, they weren't, he wasn't sacking him all over the place.
Right. Gotcha.
They were just forcing him into something he was uncomfortable doing.
Okay.
And that was the blueprint.
Yeah, I get that. All right, let's go to Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good morning, Anthony. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh Douglas, man. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, Hugh, I got a question. How come, because Jalen has to play better, it boils down to we don't like him? Because I love Jalen. Jalen is a role model. I want my son to be like Jalen. But that don't mean that Jalen don't have to play better. He has to play better. That's just what it is.
Okay, Anthony, and you're right. And if what I said doesn't pertain to you, then you shouldn't feel attacked. There are some out there. Like, and for me, I hear cold. It's cold. I know when I hear certain things, I hear it and I interpret it differently because to me it's cold. It's a dog whistle. I'm not saying that's you. If that's not you, then it doesn't apply to you.
So, Anthony, before you go on, so I think you and I see it similar. And like, when I am saying Jalen's got to play better, I feel like you. Like, he's a good dude. I'm glad that he's the Eagles quarterback. But I want to win the Super Bowl, and I need him to play better. So, and then when Hugh says what he says, I don't take any offense because I know he's not talking about me because we have this discussion every day.
Because Anthony, since you brought it here, I talked to somebody, and I text with somebody that every Sunday has something to say about football, and it might not be in particularly about Jalen Hurts, but I know that that person's coming from a position of a passionate fan. And I know talks about Jalen, he's coming from the position of a passionate fan. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those other people that try to disguise what they're saying in code.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. You're good, Anthony. What's your feeling? Yeah. What are you feeling today?
My feeling is, when Jalen hears everything, so like how Chris just said in the call up before, Chris, it's like when the game, like a big game, Jalen step up. He step up. Whatever he needs to do, Jalen get it done. In the big game, he might be inconsistent, not consistent enough, or whatever the case may be is. But I believe this week, Jalen going to have a big game, and he going to do his interview. And before he sit down, he going to say, is that what y'all wanted to see? And, you know, everything is going to be all
if
right.
I'm Jalen, I probably
only thing
probably
that
wouldn't
bothered,
do that.
Only thing that bothered me this game or this week is the officiating. We are 0-3 against this officiating crew, and that's the same crew that kicked out CJGJ.
Anthony, they are. And let me throw one more thing at you. This referee was the ref on the day that Wentz got knocked out of the playoff game against Seattle. We got some weird vibes with this ref, Sean Smith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's officiating crew, man.
Yeah, last week I thought we were in the advantage because we had some good vibes with that officiating crew. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that and a call this week.
Well, I'll tell you, it's changed so much. I have never in my life in the 10 years that I played in the NFL cared about the officiating crew or knew anybody's name or anything like that. That was always an NBA thing. The fact that we've gotten to this point where the officiating crew for the NFL has a track record, it's bananas to me.
So,
I just find that hilarious.
Last week, I slept like a baby on Saturday night because I knew we had the officiating crew, and it was a good one, and they were a home officiating crew this week, and we're going to get to the full details on this crew, Sean Smith and company, later in the show. I'm telling you right now, I am going to be tossing and turning on Saturday night into Sunday because it's not a great crew. Let's go to Clint in Voorhees. What's up, Clint?
Yo, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Clint. What's up, buddy?
Listen, I just got to say this. I have never seen this kind of reaction to a playoff win, at least in a really long time. And when I look at this Eagles team, what I see is a great defense, a great running game,
and a passing game that is not great, but is very capable of making the plays that need to be made when the time comes. Now, I look at Jalen, and I see what he's done over the year, and yeah, have we all held our breath and said, he could be better here, he could be better there. But I have full confidence in Jalen Hurts that he has the potential, and I really do believe in him that he can rise to the occasion when it matters.
So I think that's fair to have that feeling. I mean, he's been a winning quarterback, and he's been in a Super Bowl already and played well in that Super Bowl. But, Clint, it's interesting you said you haven't felt ever a reaction to this. And I think that there's something to that. Like it's almost like we're talking about it as if they barely won, even though they won by double digits and probably could have won by 19 if Saquon kept running. But Clint, when I saw, and this was a few days after the reaction started, I just saw this yesterday, when I saw that stat from Shiel Kapati that it was one of the worst quarterback games, you know, in terms of a winning quarterback in the playoffs in 10 years, I think it makes sense, because I didn't have that stat on Monday when we came on the air, neither did you or anyone else, but we all kind of felt it. Like, they didn't throw the ball well at all, and yet they won, so it's kind of a weird reaction to what we just saw on Sunday. I kind of get it when you think about the passing game and what happened on Sunday.
And listen, I'm not saying that we don't have a right to be concerned about the passing offense. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think we should all take a deep breath and realize that in order to win a Super Bowl, it's a team. You know, it's not all going to rely on Jalen, and quite frankly, it shouldn't rely on Jalen to get us there. It should be, mostly the defense, the running game, and Jalen should be a part of it. But I don't expect him to be the sole reason why we get that trip to New Orleans.
Well, neither do I, and I don't think they do either. I don't think he does. Clint, we appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, I've made this comp a lot this season as the team morphed to a defensive team and a run team.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Russell Wilson Seahawks.
That's okay.
They won.
That reminds you, Tom Brady was like that in his first couple years in the NFL.
He was.
It's funny how people forget. I forgot which show I was listening to. I think it was the afternoon show, where somebody was arguing about Tom Brady's greatness early in his career, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking to myself, it's amazing how much people forget about who Tom Brady was when he first came in. He was a game manager, and he evolved, and he worked on his game, and he became the GOAT. But he wasn't that guy at the beginning. I think it was the morning show, because I think Richie was talking about it. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the morning show, because Richie was talking about it, and somebody was and Richie was on the field, and somebody was arguing with him about what Richie remembered. And I'm like, dog, he was there. And it's just amazing how people have revisionist history when it comes to certain things. And I look at it like this. Does Jalen need to play better? Yes. If for us to ultimately get to where we need to be, does Jalen need to be play better? No question about that. Do I need Jalen to throw for 300 yards this weekend to win this game? Hells no. But I tell you what I do need. Saquon Barkley at least has to have 150 on the ground or 200 in total, like from everybody, to win this game. I think this game is tailor-made for the way that this team is playing right now.
So, you know what I think? The Brady thing is interesting because people do forget that here, right? They forget early on that he was well more of a game manager than he was, what he became, right? The GOAT and like 50 touchdowns in 2007. But so I just went back, you referencing Richie. I mean, Richie was in the game, the Tuck Rule game, right? Like,
and that's what he referenced. He was talking about the Tuck Rule game.
So what I think made the Patriots so great, and Hugh, I think any team would want to be able to do either, right? If they need to throw a lot, they could do it. If they need to run a lot, they could do it. I think that's like the ideal way to try to win in football, whatever the game needs. So what's so interesting about Brady is, Hugh, there were a lot of games that year with Brady. That was his first year. He took up. Remember, Bledsoe got hurt. He came in, and then he never gave the job back. There were games that season where he threw the ball 20 times. He threw the ball 19 times. In the AFC Championship game, he threw the ball 18 times. He completed 16 passes in the Super Bowl. He also did have a couple games that year. I guess they were more shootouts, where he threw the ball 54 times against San Diego. He threw the ball 52 against Oakland. So the brilliance of the Patriots, Hugh, was they could do anything, right? They wanted to run it more, but if they really had to put the ball in Tom's hands, he delivered. I guess that's the one thing we haven't seen in a while. Like, if they really need Jalen, 2 minutes to go, down a touchdown, is he going to go score?
And I tell you another thing, man. The one asset that every good offense has is an ace in the hole. Something that, you know, you game plan for all week long, then that all of a sudden, in the moment that they need it the most, they can go to. And the prime example of that is I remember playing in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, Marshall Faulk in that fourth quarter. Because that was a tight game. As a matter of fact, going into the half, we were winning that game. And in the fourth quarter, Marshall Faulk hadn't made a whole lot of noise in the passing game that whole first half. And boy, in that second half, that was the ace in the hole, getting the ball to him. And then after that, it was all I saw was the back of that man jersey. It was a wrap. And that's what you could potentially have in Jalen. I don't need Jalen to go out there and for whatever reason invoke the ghost of quarterback's past for some people to make them feel better about a win. I just need him to win. That's it. I don't give a damn how he wins. I just want him to win this weekend. And then guess what? Get to Detroit and get ready for that. But in order to do all of that, we got to win this weekend.
We do. The ghost of quarterback's past sounds like a Philadelphia story. I mean, that's just like the Nick Foles thing.
No, because it's like, because I hear people, they invoke what they've seen before in other quarterbacks. Every year is different. Every year, teams win in different ways. Who's to say that this year, it might not be a Super Bowl where a lot of points are being scored? It might be 7-10. And as long as we got the 10, I don't give a damn how we get it.
Well, I think everyone agrees on that. Just get there and win the game. 215-592-9494. Rhea's take coming up on all this. Eagles passing issues, is it a big deal? Also, we have to get a ruling from her on a tweet from a certain someone on her show yesterday while in the bathtub. That's coming up. Your phone calls on all of this. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, all customers get a no sweat same game NFL parlay for any game. Just place a three-leg NFL same game parlay and you get bonus bets if your bet doesn't win. Same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sports app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no sweat same game parlay on America's number one sports with FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. FanDuel, an official sports betting part of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. You know, we've had a lot of different returns on this show. This is the first time we've had this one. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, joining us now. Rhea Hughes. Rhea, how we doing?
Good morning. I love that.
Well, so now that we're here, I mean, we'll get to the non-important stuff, like, you know, the Eagles passing game.
Correct.
Before a playoff
game. We have to
game.
Deal with the more important issues. Yes.
And Hugh, we needed to come in with that audio because I saw this tweet yesterday, and Rhea, we need your perspective on it because you work with this guy every day. Quote, and this is from Joe DeCamera, lying in the bathtub thinking about how it's amazing we haven't heard from or even seen Rich Kotite in years. It's like the man disappeared. The internet doesn't even seem to have a photo of him after his Jets days in the mid-90s. Wild. Almost 30 years. Rhea, your reaction to Joe's tweet in the bath?
I'm not sure which is...
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Rhea Hughes will join us in studio at 11. We got to get to a couple things with Rhea. One, I need a big prediction from her again. Last week, she nailed the Quinyon Mitchell first interception prediction. So we'll see what Rhea has for us this week. And we need to get her thoughts on the Joe DeCamera tweet from yesterday. In fact, there was a flurry of tweets from Joe yesterday. The one in particular, as he detailed what he was doing while bathing. So we'll get to that coming up at 11 o'clock later in the show. What Jason Kelce said about this game against the Rams and this Eagles offense. Plus, some big themes we got to get to for Sunday. One, I feel like, is a big advantage for the Eagles. And one, I feel like, is not. So we'll get to all that. Big show today. 215-592-9494. Is the Eagles passing game and the issues that we've seen all year with it a big deal? Or is it much ado about nothing? They just keep winning and we keep like, it doesn't look right, and they keep winning. Where do you come down? Is it a big deal? Let's hear from Nick Sirianni first on the Eagles passing game. What did he see after rewatching the game? Here he was with Joe and John a couple days ago.
How much did receivers struggle to get open more than usual against the Packers?
Our receivers are able to get open again when it's one-on-one coverage, and it's true, you know, like that. Our receivers know how to get open, find ways to get open, and I think the same can be true for when our receivers field at zone. You know, they have a good feel like of where to sit in the zones, where to sit, but there's rules to where you got to sit in zones as well. I thought we were efficient in the pass game. I thought that there was things we're going to all want back, but I never worry about, you know that sign in AJ's locker, always open. He's always open. So I never worry about those guys getting open. I never worry about that because we got some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was great to have Dallas back. Listen, at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do to win the football game, and that's the only thing that matters. How do you win the football game? And we found a way to do that.
Hugh, there's a double-edged sword for Sirianni there when he's asked that question. So if he responds and says, yeah, we didn't get open like we normally do, then it opens up the can of worms as well. Was it a poor scheme, right? Did the Packers know it was coming? Or did your guys just get outplayed by their DBs, right, your receivers? Or he could answer it the way he did by saying, no, guys were open. Because when I hear guys are open, I say, well, why didn't they throw the ball better for two quarters, right? Like, it's like he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't when he answers that question.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing about it is like, what we do – as far as analysts, it's amazing how this is on this subject in particular with Jalen and these receivers, it has divided everybody because you have some people that are in the camp that the receivers are open and Jalen just missed the throws.
Yep.
And then you have some people in the camp where they say the receivers weren't open. And it's tough, man. I'm of the mindset of this, and we talked about this a little bit Monday. I saw where Dan Orlovsky was talking about when he said receivers were covered. But there's something, and I think Kyle mentioned it this morning, it's one thing called being college open and NFL open.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I talked about it, I said, okay, to Dan Orlovsky's point, at the top of the route, yeah, they were covered. I get that. But there's a window, and I told a story this morning about Dan Marino, because that was my first time playing in the NFL, and it's a story that I'll never forget. But Dan got the ball out of his hands so fast, and I remember on one play. Now, y'all have to understand, I'm playing for the Jets, but I'm in the Miami Dolphins huddle because I am amazed and enamored. First game ever, because Richmond Webb over there kicking my ass. So my first game ever, I'm listening to how Dan Marino commands the huddle. and it was a receiver that ran the wrong route, and Dan was on his ass. He's like, if you don't run this, da-da-da-da-da, I told you to do this, 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 that. And he came back, and he made the play. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is this, is because I had the best seat in the house to watch Dan Marino work, and Dan Marino would throw to a spot. And what I mean by that is he would throw the ball. There would be no receiver in the vicinity where he was throwing. But right when you blinked your eyes, a guy would cross the route and back catch the football because he was throwing guys open. Jalen doesn't do that. Jalen's not going to put the ball in harm's way. And that's what you saw earlier. A lot of people that said they were open early in the route. Jalen's not going to throw those for the most part. If it's not a one-on-one coverage, we've seen that. We've talked about that for weeks. And that's just not the quarterback that Jalen is. And that's something that, you know, I'm pretty sure is frustrating for the receivers. It's frustrating for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, Jalen gives us, in this situation right now, as it's presently presented to us, gives us the best chance of winning football games.
Well, he does, and he's done a lot of that. And he's obviously a good quarterback and a winning quarterback. And if he continues to win, everyone's going to be happy. But the details and how it happens, it makes our mind wander. I mean, it does for me. I mean, I that's why I use the analogy of the Phillies. I thought they were a tremendous baseball team last year, but they had a flaw. They were towards the bottom of the league in certain things, specifically at the end of the year chase rate. They started chasing again, and you wondered, is that going to come and bite them at some point unless they fix it? They didn't fix it. The pitching failed a little bit, and they couldn't catch up in those games, unfortunately. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Is this the Eagles passing game? Is it a big deal, or is it much ado about nothing and they keep winning in spite of it? Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Eastbound down and loaded up and trucking, man.
That is us, and we have two wins to a trip to New Orleans. Chris, what are you feeling today?
Here's how I'm feeling. First of all, Hugh, did you get your coat?
You know what, Chris? It came, and it was not the right size again.
Like, what is it, like too short or tight in the arms?
Well, I don't – it's kind of tight in the arms. Mm. It's so – yeah, I got to figure that out.
I mean, Hugh, it's going to be a little cold on Sunday.
No, it's definitely going to be a lot of cold on Sunday.
Hugh, your partner's there, Mr. Joe and Kyle. They're plant-based today. You know that, right?
I think I like to look at us more as visionaries. We're trying to help everyone see things a certain way.
I mean, but you know what, though, Chris? They're not the only ones. A lot of people feel this way. A lot of people feel strongly about the play of the quarterback.
You know what? Shut up.
So here's what I got to say about all this, guys. The weather is going to be total slop on Sunday. And when you're playing these games, and you know, hopefully you could kind of talk about this, but we're built right for this. When you're doing this, you got to have a dominant run game, which we most certainly do. We may potentially see another snowball because it's starting to look like that a little bit. And you need to play dominant defense. And when we start laying wood, to these California kids,
they got thick wood, hard. They got. You couldn't wait to use that cut.
I was waiting for it. As soon as Chris went down that path, I knew it was coming.
Yeah, and guys. You know, this whole Jalen thing, dude, he didn't play in a month. So, of course, he wasn't going to be completely locked in. And anybody who convinced himself that he was and it's not a big deal, look, you got to move yourself away from OG Wade's Kool-Aid station because you drank a little too much, all right? Dude, even with Jalen not being completely sharp, he doesn't throw games away. He doesn't do the five pick games. He doesn't do that stuff. And, you know, he's shown us that when called upon, he can pull the wagon, just like what happened in Pittsburgh. And he came out and said, y'all see what you need to see? Well, apparently Joe and Kyle didn't see what they needed to see. So, guys, and let me also remind you the dynamics of this game. So, like, act like, hey, he struggled this week. The Packers have the fifth best defense in the NFL. The Rams ain't that. The Rams are 26, and Joe, I don't want to hear how they dismantled Sam Darnold, okay? Just let's end it right there. Sam Darnold.
I get it. And Chris, no, so I understand that, Chris. We appreciate the phone call. Can I just make a point, though? And you can throw all the numbers you want at me with the Rams defense and the Packers. Two things. One, your ranking is a resume of the entire season. Like, so the Rams are 26th or whatever they are in defense.
Yeah, that don't matter in a playoff.
In part because they stunk in September. And, like, I'm not saying they're a top five defense, but we also could have some context. Like, they were bad early. They're any team that had 9 sacks 6 days ago is going to get my attention. I don't care if it's good Sam Darnold or anybody else.
Weren't the Indianapolis Colts defense bad going into the playoffs?
When they won with Peyton.
Yes. Then they turned it on.
Yeah, also, Packers were fifth, but they had lost Jair Alexander. Like, that wasn't the same defense. So, I think it's a fair point. The Packers did bring a quality defense in here, and we won. And the Rams were bringing a defense that is not as good over the course of the season. But, I mean, could we just totally just throw away the fact that they had 9 sacks in a playoff game on Monday? Not only they're going to get 9 against Jalen, but, like, I'm not going to dismiss them totally.
No, I can't do that.
Totally?
Yeah, I said this before. I'll say it again. If you tell me that an opponent's pass rush is a threat, I dismiss that every time. We have the best offensive line in football. We have the 2 best tackles in football. Jared Verse will not sniff Jalen Hurts if Lane Johnson has anything to say about it, which he always does. Can you remember the last time a defensive lineman for any team wrecked a game against the Eagles? It does not happen.
So, I understand your point, and I don't think the Rams are going to get 6 sacks, but they could force Jalen to roll right, and then it's a broken play. You know what I mean? Like, Jalen's not taking 10 sacks this game. He doesn't do that. They won't let him do that. But if there's pressure, Jalen can not complete passes.
Yeah. Right. No. So, and to Hugh's question, I don't think Nick Bosa wrecked the game. I think what they were doing, the Niners were... They were forcing. I think what he was describing as the blueprint was to kind of force Jalen to his, like, they weren't, he wasn't sacking him all over the place.
Right. Gotcha.
They were just forcing him into something he was uncomfortable doing.
Okay.
And that was the blueprint.
Yeah, I get that. All right, let's go to Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good morning, Anthony. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh Douglas, man. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, Hugh, I got a question. How come, because Jalen has to play better, it boils down to we don't like him? Because I love Jalen. Jalen is a role model. I want my son to be like Jalen. But that don't mean that Jalen don't have to play better. He has to play better. That's just what it is.
Okay, Anthony, and you're right. And if what I said doesn't pertain to you, then you shouldn't feel attacked. But there are some out there. Like, and for me, I hear cold. It's cold. I know when I hear certain things, I hear it and I interpret it differently, because to me it's cold. It's a dog whistle. I'm not saying that's you. If that's not you, then it doesn't apply to you.
So, Anthony, before you go on, so I think you and I see it similar. And like, when I am saying Jalen's got to play better, I feel like you. Like, he's a good dude. I'm glad that he's the Eagles quarterback. But I want to win the Super Bowl, and I need him to play better. So, and then when Hugh says what he says, I don't take any offense, because I know he's not talking about me, because we have this discussion every day.
Anthony, since you brought it here, I talk to somebody, and I text with somebody that every Sunday has something to say about football, and it might not be in particularly about Jalen Hurts, but I know that person's coming from a position of a passionate fan. And I know when Joe talks about Jalen, he's coming from the position of a passionate fan. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those other people that try to disguise what they're saying in code.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. Anthony. What's your feeling? Yeah. What are you feeling today?
My feeling is, when Jalen hears everything, so like how Chris just said in the call up before, Chris, it's like when the game, like a big game, Jalen step up. He step up. Whatever he needs to do, Jalen get it done. In the big game, he might be inconsistent, not consistent enough, or whatever the case may be is. But I believe this week, Jalen going to have a big game, and he going to do his interview. And before he sit down, he going to say, "Is that what y'all wanted to see?" And, you know, everything is going to be all right.
Jalen, I probably
the only thing
probably
that
wouldn't
bother,
that.
Only thing that bothered me this game or this week is the officiating. We are 0-3 against this officiating crew, and that's the same crew that kicked out CJGJ.
Anthony, they are. And let me throw one more thing at you. This referee was the ref on the day that Wentz got knocked out of the playoff game against Seattle. We got some weird vibes with this ref, Sean Smith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We got weird vibes. Mm-hmm. He's officiating crew, man.
Yeah, last week I thought we were in the advantage because we had some good vibes with that officiating crew. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that and a call this week.
Well, I'll tell you, it's changed so much. I have never in my life in the 10 years that I played in the NFL cared about the officiating crew or knew anybody's name or anything like that. That was always an NBA thing. The fact that we've gotten to this point mm-hmm. where the officiating crew for the NFL has a track record, it's bananas to me. So I just find that hilarious.
Last week, I slept like a baby on Saturday night because I knew we had the officiating crew, and it was a good one, and they were a home officiating crew this week. And we're going to get to the full details on this crew, Sean Smith and company, later in the show. I'm telling you right now, I am going to be tossing and turning on Saturday night into Sunday because it's not a great crew. Let's go to Clint in Voorhees. What's up, Clint?
Yo, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Clint. What's up, buddy?
Listen, I just got to say this. I have never seen this kind of reaction to a playoff win, at least in a really long time. And when I look at this Eagles team, what I see is a great defense, a great running game, and a passing game that is not great, but is very capable of making the plays that need to be made when the time comes. Now, I look at Jalen, and I see what he's done over the year, and yeah, have we all held our breath and said, he could be better here, he could be better there. But I have full confidence in Jalen Hurts that he has the potential, and I really do believe in him that he can rise to the occasion when it matters.
So I think that's fair to have that feeling. I mean, he's been a winning quarterback, and he's been in a Super Bowl already and played well in that Super Bowl. But, Clint, it's interesting you said you haven't felt ever a reaction to this. And I think that there's something to that. Like it is kind of it's almost like we're talking about it as if they barely won, even though they won by double digits and probably could have won by 19 if Saquon kept running. But Clint, when I saw, and this was a few days after the reaction started, I just saw this yesterday, when I saw that stat from Shiel Kapati that it was one of the worst quarterback games, you know, in terms of a winning quarterback in the playoffs in 10 years, I think it makes sense because I didn't have that stat on Monday when we came on the air. Neither did you or anyone else, but we all kind of felt it. Like, they didn't throw the ball well at all, and yet they won, so it's kind of a weird reaction to what we just saw on Sunday. I kind of get it when you think about the passing game and what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying that we don't have a right to be concerned about the passing offense. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think we should all take a deep breath and realize that in order to win a Super Bowl, it's a team, you know. It's not all going to rely on Jalen, and quite frankly, it shouldn't rely on Jalen to get us there. It should be, you know, mostly the defense, the running game, and Jalen should be a part of it, but I don't expect him to be the sole reason why we get that trip to New Orleans.
Well, neither do I, and I don't think they do either. I don't think he does. Clint, we appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, I've made this comp a lot this season as the team morphed to a defensive team and a run team.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Russell Wilson Seahawks.
That's okay.
They won.
That reminds you, Tom Brady was like that in his first couple years in the NFL.
Yeah, he was.
It's funny how people forget. I forgot which show I was listening to. I think it was the afternoon show where somebody was arguing about Tom Brady's greatness early in his career. And I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, it's amazing how much people forget about who Tom Brady was when he first came in. He was a game manager and he evolved and he worked on his game and he became the GOAT. But he wasn't that guy at the beginning. I think it was the morning show because I think Richie was talking about it. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the morning show because Richie was talking about it. And somebody was Richie was on the field and somebody was arguing with him about what Richie remembered. And I'm like, dog, he was there. And it's just amazing how people have revisionist history when it comes to certain things. And I look at it like this. Does Jalen need to play better? Yes. If for us to ultimately get to where we need to be, does Jalen need to be play better? No question about that. Do I need Jalen to throw for 300 yards this weekend to win this game? Hells no. But I tell you what I do need. Saquon Barkley at least has to have 150 on the ground or 200 in total, like from everybody, to win this game. I think this game is tailor-made for the way that this team is playing right now.
So, you know what I think? The Brady thing is interesting because people do forget that here, right? They forget early on that he was well more of a game manager than he was, what he became, right? The GOAT and like,
yeah.
50 touchdowns in 2007. But I just went back, you referencing Richie. I mean, Richie was in the game, the Tuck Rule game, right?
And that's what he referenced. He was talking about the Tuck Rule game.
So What I think made the Patriots so great, and Hugh, I think any team would want to be able to do either, right? If they need to throw a lot, they could do it. If they need to run a lot, they could do it. I think that's like the ideal way to try to win in football, whatever the game needs. So what's so interesting about Brady is, Hugh, there were a lot of games that year with Brady. That was his first year. He took up. Remember, Bledsoe got hurt. He came in, and then he never gave the job back. There were games that season where he threw the ball 20 times. He threw the ball 19 times. In the AFC Championship game, he threw the ball 18 times. He completed 16 passes in the Super Bowl. He also did have a couple games that year. I guess there were more shootouts where he threw the ball 54 times against the San Diego. He threw the ball 52 against Oakland. So the brilliance of the Patriots, Hugh, was they could do anything, right? They wanted to run it more, but if they really had to put the ball in Tom's hands, he delivered. I guess that's the one thing we haven't seen in a while. Like, if they really need Jalen, 2 minutes to go, down a touchdown, is he going to go score?
And I tell you another thing, man. The one asset that every good offense has is an ace in the hole. Something that, you know, you game plan for all week long, then that all of a sudden, in the moment that they need it the most, they can go to. And the prime example of that is I remember playing an NFC Championship game against the Rams, Marshall Faulk, in that fourth quarter. Because that was a tight game. As a matter of fact, going into the half, we were winning that game. And in the fourth quarter, Marshall Faulk hadn't made a whole lot of noise in the passing game that whole first half. And boy, in that second half, that was the ace in the hole, getting the ball to him. And then after that, it was all I saw was the back of that man's jersey. It was a wrap. And that's what you could potentially have in Jalen. I don't need Jalen to go out there and for whatever reason invoke the ghost of quarterback's past for some people to make them feel better about a win. I just need him to win. That's it. I don't give a damn how he wins. I just want him to win this weekend. And then guess what? Get to Detroit and get ready for that. But in order to do all of that, we got to win this weekend.
We do. The ghost of quarterback's past sounds like a Philadelphia story. I mean, that's just like the Nick Foles thing.
No, because it's like, because I hear people, they invoke what they've seen before. And other quarterbacks, every year is different. Every year, teams win in different ways. Who's to say that this year, it might not be a Super Bowl where a lot of points are being scored. It might be 7-10. And as long as we got the 10, I don't give a damn how we get it.
Well, I think everyone agrees on that. Just get there and win the game. 215-592-9494. Rhea's take coming up on all this. Eagles passing issues, is it a big deal? Also, we have to get a ruling from her on a tweet from a certain someone on her show yesterday while in the bathtub. That's coming up. Your phone calls on all of this. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, all customers get a no sweat same game NFL parlay for any game. Just place a 3-leg NFL same game parlay and you get bonus bets if your bet doesn't win. Same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sports app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no sweat same game parlay on America's number one sports with FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. FanDuel, an official sports betting part of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.